Okay, we were speaking about the accomplishments of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and keeping in mind, as we said over and over again, that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah made certain takonas, and what they had in mind was the benefit of Klal Yisrael while they are in Eretz Yisrael in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, and perhaps what's even more, that they had in mind the Gansach Sidus of Klal Yisrael and Golas. And again, I don't know, can't stress this enough, the fact that if one wants to truly appreciate the godless of Klal Yisrael, so you could look at the fact that we're here for 2,000 years in Golas, and Vinishvi, we're here, and we're here, we're in existence, and we're here, the Kaimei Atayra, Langdei Atayra, and it's already a long time that has gone by since this is happening. And the reason that we are zeichet to have this, there are many, many different reasons that we could attest to, but one of them is the fact that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, Beroiv, Chachmasa, Magdushasa, Medruach HaKadosh, with the Kayach and the Vua even, they prepared us for this Golus. And what we discussed last time were some of the takonas that they made, and last time we discussed what they did with the Siddur, the fact that we should be able to get together in the base of Knessas and daven together. So besides the fact that they did this because they saw the Yeridus HaDeiris, that we couldn't anymore make up our own Lashainas when it came to going to the Tefillah, but besides that was also the fact that now we are able to come together in a shul, daven together. You have the Ramban at the end of Parshas Boy that brings coming together in the Beis HaKnesses, everybody together saying Shema Yisrael. So this is the way we're Mekayim HaRamuna and so forth and so on. So this all came about through the efforts of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, because they made that the Siddur should be uniform. This time we'd like to discuss one of the things that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah started. And ultimately their work was not finished until after the Tekufa of the second Beis HaMikdash. It was a little while after the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash that this particular Arbit was finished, but they were the ones that started it. And that was the writing down, or I should say, the gathering together of the Mishnayos. It's the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah that started putting together the Mishnayos. Now, we're Malumid, we always taught that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the one that wrote down the Mishnayos. So it's true, but it's only partially true. Rabbeinu HaKadosh took together all of the Mishnayos that were found from the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah down until his generation. He gathered them together and decided which ones should be included in Mishnayos and which ones should be included in the Brises, different types of Brises. Perhaps we'll discuss this later on. But the work of the Sidur of the Mishnayos, of putting together the Mishnayos, that began with the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, which means that there always was going together with Torah Shebichtav. And Torah Shebichtav, we mentioned, is the Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim. There always was, together with this, Torah Shebaal Peh. But it never was formalized, the language of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And that also needs to be understood. Even till today, the complete language of Torah Shebaal Peh is not formalized. Because when we learn a Gemara, all that we're saying is all Torah Shebaal Peh. But it never had a format. It never had an official structure. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah started giving it an official structure. And they did it by starting to formalize the language of the Mishnayos. There were many different phrases, words, expressions that were used, that were passed down from the previous generations, and they chose amongst those phrases the ones that they felt best explains and crystallizes the halachas that are taken from Tariq Shevich Sav. And at the same time, we know that we have a klal that Dvarim Shevich Sav is also to say Baal Peh, and Dvarim Shebaal Peh Yatushoy Roimeh B'Ksav. So we know that Torah Shebaal Peh you can't write down. So even though ultimately all of this came to be written down, which the Gemara says was a situation of Eis Las Eis Lashem Eferu Serosecho, which again I hope we'll discuss later on, and when we get to the writing down of the Mishnayos. But they wanted, in as few words as possible, to structure the basis of Torah Shebaal Peh. I guess you'd say that the Mishnayos that we have is not so much an explanation of the halachas. It's written like a telegraph is written. In other words, it's written in phrases, and what the Tana wants from us is to be medagdic in the way he has put down the phrase, so that we should take out of it not only what it says, but also we should take out of it what's being hinted from it. He doesn't want to write it clearly, because you have to be memayit in how much you write, but he writes it in such a way that we should be able to chap that there's something else going on here also. Let's see if we have a simple example. Everybody learned Perek HaMeniach, right? Meniach is a kad b'rishus sarabim, and then afterwards the Mishnah goes on and talks about a chavius. The Gemara is a kasha, posach b'kad b'sayim b'chavius, right? You all learn this? Yeah? HaMeniach? The Gemara says you started with a kad and you ended off with chavius. So the Gemara, and the kad is smaller than a chavius. So then why does it first use the lotion of kad and afterwards use the lotion of chavius? So the Gemara brings a raya from over here. Ein hochim b'momen achar arayv. So this is a fantastic thing. The klal of ein hochim b'momen achar arayv is a rule that's negeya to kol ha-tayrakula. This is how we need to know this. Ein hochim b'momen achar arayv. Shmuel says that what says in this Mishnah is ein hochim b'momen achar arayv. Now, the rule of ein hochim b'momen achar arayv is negeya to endless halachas in Shulchan Aruch, endless cases, negeya to Alvo, negeya to Mecher, negeya to endless halachas in Shulchan Aruch. There is no Mishnah that says, Ein hochem mamon achar arayv. There is no Mishnah. You can't find the Mishnah. The Mishnah is, Posach b'kad, v'sayim v'chavis. That's the Mishnah. So the Tana wrote it in such a way that we should be able to deduct from the language that he used a halacha that's a wichtiger halacha, a sehr wichtiger halacha, that's negeya to kol ha-teira kula. Now why did he do this? Why didn't he say klor out ein hochem b'momen achar arayv? So the Teretz says he wanted to be memayit in the language, because as we said, ultimately it's going to be written down, and memelo you have to be memayit in the amount that you're able to write down. So that's the reason that he wrote it in such an eifin of a remes. Okay, so because of this, that you have in the Mishnayos, the Mishnayos that began in the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim, as time went on, so they were, and different issues, different shailos that came up, so they added on more Mishnayos. And that's the reason why you have, in the Gemara, you have the language of Mishnah Rishayna and Mishnah Achrayna. Mishnah Rishayna is referring to the Mishnayos that were learnt in the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim. And Mishnah Achrayna refers to Mishnayos that were learnt afterwards. And sometimes there could be a variation in the language. And that's what the Gemara will talk about. Why is there a change in the language between the Mishnah Rishayna and Mishnah Achrayna? Another example that you have to this is the first Mishnah Masechtas Pesachim. The Mishnah says, Or l'arba osa boitkenes achomets l'or haner, ko mogum shemachnisu mechomets ein tzorach bedika, About what was said, or what does it mean when it says Beis Shuris b'Marsef is a Mokim Shemachnisim b'Chometz? There's two rows in a storage house, and in these two rows in a storage house is a Mokim Shemachnisim b'Chometz. Which two rows? And that there is a Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Shammai Oimrim Beis Shuris al Pnei Kol HaMarsef, uBeis Hillel Oimrim Shtei Shuris HaChitzoneis Shehem HaElyonis. So there was an earlier statement made, Beis Shuris b'Marsef Mokim Shemachnisim b'Chometz. That was the old Mishnah that was learned from the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. What does that Mishnah mean? Within the Tanoim, amongst the Tanoim themselves, there was a machlokes of how to understand the Mishnah that we got from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Beis Shammai says, understand that Mishnah one way, and Beis Hillel says, understand that Mishnah a different way. So you see that there are different levels of Mishnais, right? We have all different levels of Mishnais, and from these different levels of Mishnais that were handed down for us, the oldest Mishnais that we have were put together by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So once again, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah took the different halachas of Torah Shebaal Peh, and they started formalizing it with the proper language that we'll be able to use that's going to teach us the halacha, and at the same time is going to hint to us at other halachas that we should be able to deduct from these Mishnayos. Agav, one of the reasons why they made the Mishnayos very much bekitzer, and the Mishnayos were always bekitzer, was because at that time, in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, before Rabbeinu HaKadosh, they had to commit the Mishnayos to memory. Because before they were martyred to write down the Mishnayos, so you had to memorize the Mishnayos. And therefore they wanted to have as little as possible in the language of the Mishnayos in order to make it easier to memorize. That's one of the reasons they were mekatzer in the language. Now, I want to take off a little bit and discuss this more by Arichus, the union of Torah Shebaal Peh, because as we're going to learn, as we mentioned, the job of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah was to formalize the Torah Shebaal Peh. At the same time, we're going to find throughout the Tkufa of the second Beis HaMikdash, starting with the Tztukim and the Baisusim, and working our way down to the Misyavnim, that there always was a battle b'nei geya to the Indian of Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? We know that the Tztukim, they were makabel on themselves Torah Shebuchsav and not Torah Shebaal Peh. So this issue of Torah Shebaal Peh became an issue throughout the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, and perhaps even more so in the time of the Karoyim, which was in the time of the Goyim, in a Tkufa much later on. And so I want to take off some time to discuss this. Once again, this becomes an issue, a very, very important, very, very important issue, and therefore the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah decided to put to and this all began with the Tkufa of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Once again, Rabbi Yaakov in his Sefer, in the Emes LeYaakov, in that same Shtikel Torah, when he talks about that the Tkufas of the second Beis HaMikdash was a Zman that was made for a Hachana, for the Golus, so he says this also. This is part of his Shtikel Torah. He says that one of the reasons that Ribbono Shel Olam took us back to Eretz Yisrael was Bishvil Sheyuchlu Le'asayf La'arech Es HaTorah Shebaal Peh. Because in Eretz Yisrael, there we would be able to gather together Torah Shebaal Peh, we'd be able to formalize Torah Shebaal Peh, and that would be the Yeshua for the Doris that are going to go into Golus. So now, let's talk a little bit about Torah Shebaal Peh. We know, everybody knows, that the Torah is divided up in two different chalokim, Torah Shebichsav, and let's keep it in mind, Torah Shebichsav is Torah Neviim and Ksuvim, and Torah Shebalpeh. It's very, very clear from Torah Shebichsav that there exists a Torah Shebalpeh. If one goes through Torah Shebichsav, it becomes very clear that there has to be a sefer, or there has to be a limud, call it, that's nitaisif on Torah Shebichsav. And we have many, many different rayas to this, endless rayas to this. We'll just give a few. There is no place in the Torah that the Torah tells us what an esrig is. It doesn't say. It says in the Torah that you should take a pre-Eitz Hadar. If we touch the words pre-Eitz Hadar, so it means you should take a very nice fruit. That's all it says. It doesn't say any place that the type of a fruit that you should take is an esrig. The fact that it's an esrig, that we know from Torah Sheba'al Peh. As the Rambam explains, that even though the Gemara has drushes, the drushes of the Gemara to show how the Torah Sheba'al Peh is Nizram is in the Torah Shebichsav. But basically, it's Torah Sheba'al Peh. There's no place in the Torah where it says where to shecht the behema. It says the zavachta, shecht. Where shecht? What shecht? Not only are the halachas of shechita not mentioned any place in the Torah, because we have kama v'kama halachas. We have shia, drasa, halada, hagrama. There's kama halachas in hilchos shechita. But perhaps more startling is, it doesn't say where to cut. Where are you supposed to cut? There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, "V'hayu teitafa is bein einecha." You should have teitafa is bein einecha, referring to the mitzvah of tefillin. It doesn't say any place what is tefillin. You should have teitafa is, and Rashi and Chumash, it's mashma that even to touch the word teitafa is quite a kunz. But it doesn't say what tefillin are. What does it look like? The fact that we have tefillin, and the tefillin that we have, the tefillin shel Roish, is divided up into four different sections, and the tefillin shel Yad is one section, and the different parashiyos that we have in tefillin, it doesn't say any place in the Torah. It doesn't say b'chlal what it is. The mitzvah of mila, it doesn't say in the mitzvah of mila where to be mal. B'negeya to melechah Shabbos, it doesn't say in the Torah what's considered a melacha. Don't do work on Shabbos. Doesn't say what's included in doing avodah. Skat and trua than a Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, you have to blow a trua. Doesn't say what you should blow. It doesn't even say in the Torah that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Adin. There is no. It doesn't say like that in the Torah. It comes to Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is the Chayantiv. What goes on in Rosh Hashanah? It doesn't say any place in the Torah. It doesn't say any place in the Torah what to write in a mezuzah. You should take a mezuzah and you should put it on the door. Can you imagine if your Rebbe or your teacher is going to tell you, I want you to take, put it on the door. What's the name? Put what on the door? It doesn't say anything in the Torah. What to put on the door? A mezuzah and put under the what? What? A mezuzah is a doorpost. So you should take something and put it on the doorpost. What are you supposed to put? It doesn't say any place what you're supposed to put. Besides the fact that we have in the Torah itself, in the way we learn the Torah, we have keseder, different perushim, that go keneged the simple understanding of what it says in the Torah. The Torah says, "Basav asod the treifa lo yisechel." You're not allowed to eat a treifa. So what's a treifa? So the simple taich of a treifa would be an animal that was killed by a different animal. That would be the simple taich in treifa. But that's not the way the Gemara, the Torah Sheba'al Peh, taiches a treifa. Treifa has to do with simanei treifas. And there's endless, all of the 50 simanei treifas that you have. A hole in the lung, and a hole in the mayach, and whatever. There's many different simanim of treifas. You have a pasuk aloy sevashol gedi bechalev imay. So you're not allowed to take the milk of a gedi, and you're not allowed to cook that same gedi. You're not allowed to cook it in its milk. That's what it says in the Torah. And the Maisa, after this pasuk, look what we have coming out of this pasuk. Leisavashel begdiba chaleivimoy is any kind of milk. Labdafka the milk of a gedi bechaleiv in the basar is labdafka the basar of a gedi. Any type of a basar, so a basar bechalav is also. Now he's an asar. It's asar bahano, asar bevishal, asar bachilu, because it says three times. The pasuk says three times. So they tereshu aper. We have a whole different avana. This is an interesting Zach. We learn ayin tachas ayin. So ayin tachas ayin, the Gemara says means moment. Yeah, when you that doesn't mean that you knock his eye out. And the Gemara learns, right? You learn the Gemara ayin tachas ayin means moment. It doesn't mean you knock his eye out. Do say b'zeh when it says the pasuk kashazom am lases lachiv, right? Also the same thing. Pay no kashazom am lases lachiv. So you taka have to do kashazom am lases lachiv. And if you can't be mekayim kashazom lases lachiv, so then the whole edus is bottled. And when it comes to ben grusha ben chalutza, you're going to have a long taisus to be able to be masba. Then why taka could you be mekabel the edus? Because it says in the Torah kashazom lases lachiv, so you have to be mekayim kashazom. Yeah, we'll make you pay like ayin tachazayin. No, ayin tachazayin taka means to pay. But kashazoma means kashazoma. And if kashazoma means kashazoma, and if ben glush ben chalutza you can, so then we'll say, yeah, so what's that of shot? So that game masla zain. But it's the mesira that we have is a very stark mesira that teaches us how to go about understanding the Torah. So we're saying basically two things. First of all, it's clear from the Torah itself that there is a need for Torah Shebal Peh to be masbid the Torah Shebichsav, because from the language of the Torah Bichsav by itself, there is so much ambiguous language that it becomes very, very clear that there has to be a mefirish. You know, it's almost like if I would give you, as a lahavdil, if I give you a book, and if I give you a book without footnotes, and I give you the book, and you start reading the book, and you say, I can't figure it out. And I say, you know, you read this book, and then you'll know what to do. I read the book, and you know, but there's some words over here that are strange words, and I don't understand the words. There must be footnotes. The book has to come with footnotes. Because if the book doesn't come with footnotes, I still don't know what to do, because although it's a shteta what to do, but I don't understand the words. So you're going to have to give me a second book, or a second chelik that's footnotes to explain what it says. That's what Torah Shebal Peh is. And it's clear, because it's not muvan what Torah Shebichsav means, so it's very, very clear to us that there has to be another, not a sefer, but there has to be another Torah that's there to be masber, the Torah Shebichsav, in order that we should have that. So we see from the Torah Shebichsav itself that there's a need for a Torah Shebal Peh, and if we see the Torah Shebal Peh, it becomes very clear that if we're not going to use the Torah Shebal Peh to be masbid the Torah Shebichsav, we could be way off. Our understanding of what it says in Torah Shebichsav could be of azam and oifin, that we could be way off of what the Torah Shebichsav really wants from us. We're going to go and we're going to punch out somebody's eye, and we're going to get petched for doing that. That's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from you. That's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from you. So it becomes very clear that we need the Torah Shebal Peh in order to truly be mekayim what it says in Torah Shebichsav. And Oy Bazoi, Torah Shebal Peh was always there. It's not a question. We're not Chas V'Shalom saying that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were the ones that Chulil V'Chas invented Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah Shebal Peh was always there. Torah Shebal Peh was nitten behar Sinai. But all they did was they formalized it. They formalized the language of Torah Shebal Peh. Now, you can imagine that this becomes very, very clear to us. And the truth is, it becomes even clearer to us, to me and you. But even in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, it becomes very, very clear that Torah Shebal Peh was nitten in Har Sinai. And the reason for this is once again, remember this, that even in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, most of Klal Yisrael was outside of Eretz Yisrael. So you can imagine already that if we're going to have a Gemara, there's Nesechta Shabbos, that's going to talk about Lamedtes Malachis. Lamedtes Malachis. Lamedtes Malachis comes out of Torah Shebal Peh. I'm going to do with Torah Shebichsav. So, in the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, they're going to start putting together Masechta Shabbos. They're going to enumerate all of the different malachas that are also the Shabbos, and where do they get it from? It doesn't say in the Torah, so they're going to get it from the Malachas HaMishkan, because we're makish it to the Malachas HaMishkan. The Mishnah's been written up. You have a Mishnah in Perek HaGadol and Masechta Shabbos. The Mishnayos are written up, and now the Mishnayos are going to be sent to Bavel, because that's where other Yidden are. It's going to be sent to Spain, it's going to be sent to Germany, it's going to be sent to all of these different countries where Yidden are. Now Yidden are going to look at this Mishnah that was sent to them and say, if there wasn't such a Messiah, they're going to say, no, there's no Lamedtes Malachis. Where did this come from? What's this Ezra making up something new? Lamedtes Malachis? It's obvious from the fact that the Mishnayos were niskabel all over the world, wherever there were Yidden, that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah and the Tanoim were not mechadish the Mishnayos. They were mechadish the formality of the language, but they weren't mechadish the Mishnayos. Okay, this is very, very important concept to understand. There isn't a Frumah Yid any place in the world that didn't keep Lamedtes Malachis and didn't keep the exact same Lamedtes Malachis that everybody else kept. You're not going to come across a Yid, and in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, when Yidin who came up to Yerushalayim, they came to visit to be a Leregel, a Chveis, whatever it is, so you didn't have a Yid that was coming at this from Yemen, or was coming from a Chveis from Australia, wherever he came from, and he had round tefillin and everybody else had square tefillin. Never happened. There was no such situation. Everybody had square tefillin, and everybody had the same parashas. How come? So the Torah says, because everybody knew Torah Shebal Peh. Everybody knew that tefillin has to be square. And everybody knew that you have to have four parashas. This was a sach that was Mosu Lakol. That wasn't Nischadish in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. What was Nischadish in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah was just to formalize the language. Okay, is this very clear? One other example in order to prove this point. And I know this is not a point that concerns you too much, but for the so-called scholars in the world, it has concerned them, and that's why we're elaborating on this. On Yom Kippur, it says, V'nisim es nafshei seichem. It doesn't say any place you're supposed to fast on Yom Kippur. So I hold that the pshat V'nisim es nafshei seichem is, I'm going to give you a patch on Yom Kippur. That's it. Everybody line up, and we're going to smack you up when it comes on Yom Kippur. That's going to be Taich, Vinismus Nafshe Seichem. No such pshat, right? No such pshat. Vinismus Nafshe Seichem means that you have to fast. If you don't fast on Yom Kippur, so you're not Mekayim Vinismus Nafshe Seichem. So can you imagine? You're living in Spain, right? And they're building the second base of Migdash, and you didn't go back to the second base of Migdash, you're living in Spain. You get a telegraph that comes from the Chachamim and from the Beis HaMikdash, and the telegraph says, you got to fast on Yom Kippur. If you don't fast on Yom Kippur, so you chayiv koris. So what are you going to say? I mean, you're living there with a bunch of Chachamim. So what are you going to say? You fast on Yom Kippur. I'm going to eat on Yom Kippur. V'nitzim es nafshei seichem, I'm being mekayim, we beat each other up. That's how we're mekayim, v'nitzim es nafshei seichem. If you want to fast, you fast. I'm not going to fast. There was no such thing. Nobody from any place in the world did we hear that somebody said, and if you don't fast, you chayv misa, chorus you're going to get. So, you just made that up. You know, it's like somebody walk into the yeshiva and say that when you daven Shemon Esrei, you got to know that when you daven Shemon Esrei, you have to daven the ganze Shemon Esrei standing on one foot. You daven Shemon Esrei standing on one foot. I got daven Shemon Esrei standing on 2 feet. But what's that? Anayamize is something new. If you made up, it's a new kind of a zach that you have to daven standing on one foot. Where'd you get this from? So can you imagine if Ezra is of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah and Tanoim going to put together a Mishnah, and the Mishnah is going to teach us that on Yom Kippur you have to fast on Yom Kippur. You have to fast and you can't wash and you can't go in shoes. You have to walk around barefoot on Yom Kippur, the Allah Zachin, and they're going to send this information out to a yeshiv someplace. And you're not talking about people that are just, you know, don't know what they're doing. There's other people. There's, like we said, in Bubble, for instance, they're always with Tamid HaHacham. they get a declaration, comes out of Eretz Yisrael, that from now on, this is what you can't do in Yom Kippur. What kind of business is this? You're making up something new. We're not going to be makabel this. So the answer is, they owe everybody faster in Yom Kippur. From Maimed Har Sinai on, everybody faster in Yom Kippur. That wasn't anything that's new. This was common knowledge by every single Yid and every single child knew, because you remember it from last year. Comes Yom Kippur, you got to fast on Yom Kippur. That's the way it is. It comes on Shabbos, so you can't tie a double knot on Shabbos. Why can't you? Because it's one of the Lamedes Melachos. Bushdate Lamedes Melachos. Where's the saying of Torah Lamedes? It doesn't say any place, but we know that from Torah Shabbat. If we would have gotten a telegraph from Yerushalayim that says, from now on, you got to know, you're not allowed to tie knots on Shabbos. Something new, who made this up? So they always knew that it was us. They always knew there was such a thing. And therefore, from the fact alone that we know that Klal Yisrael was spread out throughout the world, and again, this is why this Nekuda becomes very important. From the fact that Klal Yisrael did not come back to the second Beis HaMikdash, and Klal Yisrael was left spread throughout the world, it has its limit to us that we could feel by, we know by ourselves very, very stark that there was nothing that was nischadish in Eretz Yisrael. It was formalized in the Mishnayos, but nothing was nischadish in the Mishnayos. Now, Agav, for us, living in America today, or maybe if you live in Eretz Yisrael today, so this becomes even a bigger Musa Haskel than perhaps the Eden, even in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Because we also are living to a certain degree in a little bit of a kibbutz goliath. The kibbutz goliath Nebuch, it's a very sad kind of a kibbutz goliath, but it's a kibbutz goliath, so to say, to America and Eretz Yisrael. Because more or less, that's where everybody is. Yeah? You have people coming from the Sfardish countries, that's they're sort of at the end of the line of this ingathering of Eden. People that are now living Iran, leaving Iran, Iraq, Syria, and they're all coming together with the Eden that Nebuch just ran away from Germany and England and France and Poland, all these places. And we're more or less coming together, right? You come into any neighborhood where you have Eden. So you have a Sfardish shul, you have an Ashkenazish shul, you have a Persian shul, you know, you have all different kinds of shuls. Now, you walk one day, take a trip, go from one shul to another, and see if you catch anybody with round tefillin. Go look to see if anybody's there with round tefillin from all of the different shuls. You have Yemenite Yidden. The Yemenite Yidden were secluded for 2,500 years. They didn't go back to build the second Beis HaMikdash. They didn't go back to Eretz Yisrael. And because of their location, that they were found stuck in the middle of the mountains, so they were more or less secluded for about 2,500 years. They also got square tefillin. They also don't do lamites malachas. They also fast on Yom Kippur. They also blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Look at that. So obviously, this Messiah that we have, for us it's, like I say, for us living in America, or if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, and you meet together with Yidden that come from all different countries that we haven't seen you in 1,000 years, and some of you we haven't seen for 2,000 years, and you haven't seen us for 2,000 years, and we all come together, and we're all doing the same thing. Yeah, it's true. I mean, we all bench, right? We all say Hazonus HaKol. We all say, and then afterwards, when it comes to the Harachmans, okay, so then the Harachmans get a little bit splintered in different directions, because the Harachmans Be'etzim are not Mamish Chelik of Birchus HaMazon. That's not the Brachas of Birchus HaMazon. So, over the generations, people are Masev, different Tfilas and so forth. But the basic structure, even of that, is all the same. So it's a Meridik Chizik for us, and the Chizik Be'ikar is in the Hakpada, that our Chachamim, who are the ones who were given the responsibility to carry on the Mesorah of Torah Shebaal Peh from generation to generation, how makbid they were in keeping this Mesorah straight. How makbid they were that the Torah Shebaal Peh that we learn should be exactly the way it was given over. Now, this all fits in to something else that we've been discussing, and that is, we mentioned that, I guess what you call a watershed happening that took place before the building of the second Beis HaMikdash was the Ma'aseh of Purim. The Ma'aseh of Purim, as we've discussed many times, is the story that tells us that from now on there's going to be a matzav of hest upon it. From now on there's not going to be any more miracles, no nisim v'nifloys. We're also coming down to the end of the Tekufas HaNevi'im, and therefore it's not going to be obvious, not going to be very clear. The Lamala Min HaTeva, the Keneged HaTeva, is not going to become so obvious. So now, understand then, the Chachomim that you had before the Ma'aseh of Purim, before that Tekufa, and around that Tekufa, as you mentioned, there were Nevi'im that lived there. But the words of the Nevi'im, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, they took the words of the Nevi'im and they made them a chelik of Torah Shebichsav, not Torah Shebal Peh. Right? The words of the Nevi'im, they're Nichlal and Torah Shebichsav. It's the words of those who came after the Nevi'im. Their words are Torah Shebal Peh. Now, this became a difficult concept even for Klal Yisrael to be makabel. Because a Navi says over what the Ribbono Shel'Olam tells him to say over. That's Nevuah. He sees something, B'mar Nevuah, and he gives it over. Masha Enkein, a person who's not a Navi, a person who's a Talmud Chochem, a person who has Siyata Deshmaya, perhaps even a Ruach HaKodesh, but he doesn't say over word for word, or he doesn't say over exactly what the Ribbono Shel'Olam wants him to say over. So here was an area that was difficult for Klal Yisrael to be makabel, that we should accept this also. And this, Rabbi Yisai, is the pshat, I'm sure everybody knows, but we'll just repeat it, for what it says in the Medrash, that Taisus and Shabbos is the kasha, it says that Klal Yisrael by Kabbalah Satera, Kofaleim Harkigigis, so the question is, why Kofaleim Harkigigis? Klal Yisrael said Nasa Benishma, and the Medrash says that the answer is Nasa Benishma was said on Torah Shebichsav, but Torah Shebal Peh, Klal Yisrael was not prepared to be makabel, because Klal Yisrael was not prepared to be makabel that we should be able to go to a boss of Adam who's not saying over Mar Nevuah and be makabel from him the way to understand Torah Shebichsav. And the Gemara says, Hode kiblua bimea chashverish, that all of this changed with the story of Purim. And we won't go into it, of how it changed with the story of Purim. I guess, like I say, that's on Purim to discuss. But for the history of it, what we need to know is, again, we're talking about the Tekufa before the second Beis HaMikdash. And now, before the second Beis HaMikdash, there is a need to be mechazik Klal Yisrael in this inyan, that we have to be makabel Torah, even from a person who's not a Navi, even from a person who his Torah is not going to be nichlal in Torah Shebichsav. It's going to be a chelik of Torah Shebal Peh. And we're going to want to know, well, if it's not the Dvar Hashem mamish, like a Navi gives us over Dvar Hashem, so mechateisa, we should be makabel it. Well, that's Torah Shebal Peh. And that's what we saw in the Ma'aseh of Purim, that's what we're taught in the Ma'aseh of Purim, that the Chacham does give us over the Dvar Hashem. The Chacham gives us over the Dvar Hashem, the Bechinas Torah Shebal Peh, and therefore we have to be makabel this also. So what we've said is that we have Rayas on the Torah Gufa, that there's a concept, that there's this Metzias of Torah Shebal Peh, and the second thing is that we have Mesorah of Torah Shebal Peh was given over to the Chachomim of every single generation. They have to watch over this Mesorah, and they have to give over this Mesorah of Torah Shebal Peh from the generation to generation. And the Haftacha that we have, that from generation to generation, Torah Shebal Peh will always survive and will always be there. We're very, very different. We never went through a dark ages. We never went through a tkufa where we did not have chachamim. We can go through from generation till the present day. There never was a time like as a lahavdo by the goyim where they had a situation where there were no chacham. We never had a generation with no chacham. We switched from countries to countries from time to time, but there never was a situation where we didn't have chachamim. And these chachamim, therefore, and that's the haftoch of the Torah. There always will be chachamim in every single generation that will carry on the Messiah from generation to generation. That's a haftach. No matter what we do, that will always exist. And that, therefore, has given us over the strength that we have to stick with the Torah Shabbat Peh. We know the emes of Torah Shabbat Peh because we got it from them. There never was a break in that tradition that went over from generation to generation. We know from the remnants of the Torah itself that this has to exist, and so therefore, we have Ad Hayoyim, the Messiah of Torah Shabbat Peh. And as I mentioned, today more than ever, we see the Hakpada of our Chacham. If you're a Sfardi Shabbacha, if you're an Ashkenazi Shabbacha, no matter where you're coming from, you could stand in pride and wonder over the Hakpada that your earlier chachamim, the chachamim of where you come from, had to hold on tight to that Messiah, not to budge from that Messiah. And you know that it's so, because when you come together with everybody else and you realize that everything is exactly the same, so Ibazoi, it becomes very, very clear the hakpada of the chachamim in every single generation. Now, if we talk about the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah being Mesadered at this time, and we mentioned it's important for the second Beis HaMikdash, but it's also important for the Golus afterwards. So we have a simple understanding of this. They saw that Klal Yisrael is going to be spread out after the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash. We're going to more than ever be spread out all over the world. There isn't going to be a focal point that you should be able to ask all your shilas to. It's not going to be like in the time of the Beis HaMikdash where you can send a telegram to the Lishkas HaGozes where the Pasuk says, Ki Mitzian Teitzei Torah Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. But we're going to come into a situation where you're not going to be able to send your shilas to Tzion and Yerushalayim, because we're going to be all over the world, spread out all over the world. We're going to, Rachmon Lazlan, go from place to place. Who's going to paskin our shilas for us? We can't be samech on the fact that we're going to send a letter, a telegraph, a chvayis. We have to know, Pasha, the ideas of the halachas is something that we have to know for ourselves. Each individual has to know for himself the halachas. And so therefore, that's one of the reasons that they formalized the language and they set about teaching it to all of Klal Yisrael, because all of Klal Yisrael has to know the Torah. Agav, this is something also that's different, L'havdil Alav Havdolos, between us and the Goyim. The Goyim, they have their scholars and their holy people and their Chais Vosnoch, you know what I mean? It's over there. We don't have no over there. It's over here. You don't know, you're supposed to be the over there. Right? You know, and there's a responsibility for every single individual, that this individual, he has to know, he has to learn himself, he has to know Kol HaTorah Kulo. So that's one reason why they needed that all of Klal Yisrael should know this, because practical, the practical issue of knowing all of the halachas. Now, there's a second reason, and the second reason is also a very, very important reason. When we talk about the issue of how Klal Yisrael is able to survive through the Golus, so besides the question of how come, so to say, the Goyim have never been able to catch up to us, Baruch Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam protects us, that the Goyim have never been able to do what they want to do, right? Besides that concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyadam, but we ourselves as individuals, what gives us this Ruach Chaim to be able to continue and to be able to, maybe we should say it, to wait for Mashiach to be able to be mechazik ourselves from door to door, to be able to live amongst umas ha'aylam, even besides the fact that they're out to get us, but we go from different countries that have different, I guess, different nidrikait, different yetzaharas, different issues that are kineged the Torah. We go from one to another, and in every country that we go to, the Ribbono Shel Olam is mechayev us that we should live al pi derech haTorah, and not only should we live al pi derech haTorah, but what we have to do it with a chiyus, not reluctantly so, you know, do it al pi derech haTorah, because if not, we're going to be punished. No, we have to live it. We have to live our life like that. It has to be mit hagishmak, mit halebedikait. Otherwise, we're not going to survive. If it's going to be with a reluctance, and it's going to be just that we have to do it, otherwise we'll be punished. We're not going to be able to do it. We're not going to be able to continue. So what gives us, and we look around and we see this, what gives us the chiyus that we have within ourselves that we're able to face up to every nisayin, cyber gashmius and cyber ruchnius, and we'll be able to face up to with a gevura, and with a geshmak, and with a gevura, with a yislavus, we're ready to take on the next. So the answer to that is, it's the fact that we learn the Torah. And this is an added benefit, so to say, of the Torah that we have. Like we say in the bracha, v'chayei olam nota b'seichenu, within every one of us there's a chayei olam. There's a life. There's a spark. There's an energy, perhaps, that's found within every single one of us because we learn the Torah, and it's the substance, it's the food, it's the energy that makes it possible for us to be able to continue to go on from generation to generation. When we're gonna be'ez Hashem Yisbach, we'll learn about the Rambam. The Rambam was perhaps the first one to codify the halachas. Right, the Rambam went into the Gemara, and he took out the halacha lemaisa from the Gemara, and he wrote it down in halachas. There was opposition to the printing of the Sefer Mishneh Torah, and for many different reasons, and we're not here to discuss it. One of the oppositions was, people are not going to learn Gemara, they'll learn the Rambam. And so, therefore, what? Well, many different problems. One of the problems was, is that if a person is being presented with a halacha psuka, and he's not going to have to harava on the Gemara to figure out the halacha, so what's going to be with limud haTorah? In other words, granting the fact he's going to know what to do, granting the fact that the Rambam tells us exactly what to do in every period of our lives, but what's going to be with limud haTorah? And if we're not going to have limud haTorah, we're going to dissolve, we're going to fall away, we're going to, Rachman al Sadim, we're going to assimilate. We're going to fall and become, dissolve amongst the goyim that are around us. Can you imagine such a thing? They were nachas to the fact that this is something that came up generation after generation. That what gives us this nefesh achayim, that gives us this life to be able to pursue and to be able to constantly go on, is the Torah of Alper that we have within ourselves. That's what gives us the kayach to be able to persist. And I bazoi, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah realized that the Torah of Alper has to be mosur, has to be given over to every individual. And as the generations are getting weaker, and it's becoming more and more important that you have to codify the Torah of Alper, so that even if a person is not a genius, that he's able to memorize it all, he also has to have a chelik of Torah Shabbal Peh in order that he should be able to continue. And Be'ez Hashem, we're going to learn about this more. We're going to learn about different kufis of our history where the Chachamim were afraid that perhaps this is going to be taken away from us, and where they went, they went with the Gevaldige Hakpada to see to it that there should always be this massive of these, call it Amelis B'Torah, Limud haTorah, for the Inyan of the Mitzvah, but besides the Inyan of the Mitzvah, in order that we should be able to survive the Golos, we should be able to have the Koyach to survive the Golos. We also know that in Torah Shebal Peh, Tereshvafez is full of Musar. It's full of Hanhogis of Derech Eretz. Right? There isn't a Masechta that doesn't go by, that you have Bleta and Bleta of what we call Haggadata, but there it tells us how Musar, how we should act, the type of Derech Eretz we should have, Bas Heis Yira Shamayim, and so forth and so on. That's also Nichlal in Teresh Shebal Peh. It's Nichlal in Teresh Shebaksav also, very much so. The Ganze Sefer Bereishis is perhaps Nichlis, it does that. But once again, you need the Teresh Shebal Peh in order to open up the Teresh Shebaksav. We can go through the Maisa with Eliezer and Rivka, and you can go and you could read it, and it talks all about the chasodim that Rivka did. But if you go through with the different svarim that are mazbe with the psukim, so you find out what true chesed is. You need the Torah Shebal Peh in order to be mazber, in order to open up the lessons of Musar and Midas Tevis that are found in Torah Shebichsav. And also what we have from the from Teresh Shebal Peh is those that are that were given over the responsibility. That was the Gedolei Ador of each generation that's given over the responsibility to continue the Mesorah from generation to generation. They become our Manhigim Bechlal. We respect them because they're the ones who are keeping up the Mesorah of that we have from generation to generation. And in Mela, they become our leaders. Now, this is also a very important nekuda, and I bring it up now because we're going to be faced with this as we approach the tkufa of the second Beis Hamikdash. Who are our leaders? Good question. Who's our leader? So, in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, our leader was the Melech. Who's the leader? The leader is the Melech. Now, Melech is a wonderful thing to have a melech. There's a problem with having a melech. The problem with having a melech is that a melech was a melech is appointed, and the first kings taka were appointed by the Ribbono Shel Olam. But once these kings are appointed, so their children automatically become kings. Are they worthy to be kings? Or not worthy to be kings? Well, sometimes they were worthy and sometimes they were not worthy. Or perhaps to say it in a different way, sometimes they were good kings and sometimes perhaps they were not such good kings. If they were tzaddikim, so they were ma'ir klal Yisrael to become tzaddikim. Like Chizkiyo HaMelech saw to it that midon bad be'er sheva, they should be lomdei Torah. Wonderful. But at the same time, when we have a melech like we mentioned Menashe, so it's Tzoris, not just for Menashe, but Tzoris for Gans Klal Yisrael. So who says Menashe should be the king? Well, the answer is that he's being that he's in the Beis HaMalchus, so he's the king. The same thing you have in Egeya to the Kohen Gadol. It's the same type of a problem, so to say. Who is the Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol is Mizera Aaron. And the reason he's the Kohen Gadol is because he taka comes from Zera Aaron and he deserves to be the Kohen Gadol. Is the Kohen Gadol our leader? Well, if the Kohen Gadol is our leader, if he is taka worthy to be the Emes Kohen Gadol, that's a wonderful thing. But he becomes the Kohen Gadol because he's Mizera Aaron, not because of who he personally is. He becomes the Kohen Gadol because he's Mizera Aaron. Now, what happens if he's not worthy? And he now is the leader of Klal Yisrael. So that can create problems. And we're going to learn that in the second Beis HaMikdash, it created very great problems. Because if you remember when we mentioned that Alexander came to Eretz Yisrael, the one that came out to greet him was Shimon HaTzadik. The reason Shimon HaTzadik came out to greet him was not only because he was the Kohen Gadol, but was because he was the Gadol Ador. But Alexander took it that the reason that he was appointed to meet him was because he was the Kohen Gadol, and therefore the Goyim always looked towards the Kohen Gadol as being the leader of the people. And therefore we're going to learn that in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, the Kohen Gadol wasn't always the one that was worthy to be the leader of the people. This becomes a major problem in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Just like in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, having unworthy kings was a problem, in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, unworthy Kohanim Gedolim becomes a problem. If the Manig, however, is the Talmud Chacham, well, if your Manig is the Talmud Chacham, it doesn't help to be the son or an ainikel of a Talmud Chacham. If the definition of the Manig is the Talmud Chacham, so then are you or aren't you? It doesn't help what your father or your grandfather was. Not in either direction. If your father or grandfather was an Amoritz, what difference does that make? You're the Talmud Chacham. If your father or grandfather was a Talmud Chacham and you're an Amoritz, then you're an Amoritz. So it doesn't help the fact that your father or grandfather was a Talmud Chacham if you're an Amoritz. So we're going to enter now a tkufa where this also became an issue. Those who understood the inyan of the Mesirah that we have from generation that is Moser into the hands of the Talmidei Chachamim, so they always looked taka to the Talmud Chacham to be their leaders. And Rav Klaius understood it that way. They understood that the Mesirah and the Chiyas and the existence of Klaius goes in the hands of the Talmidei Chachamim. To those who didn't understand that, and they understood that the leader is the one who goes into the Beis HaMikdash, even at the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he is the one, the Kohen Gadol, and he is the leader of the people. Then we're going to talk about different kufis, where this created the problem because the Kohen Gadol wasn't always worthy of that position. So, Rabbi Isai, we spent a little time talking about the inyan of Teirei Sh'Bal Peh, the Chashivas of Teirei Sh'Bal Peh, who Teirei Sh'Bal Peh was given over the Achrayis of the Mesirah to, and what it introduced into Klal Yisrael. And Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, next time we're going to start going through the actual history of what was going on in the second Beis HaMikdash.